Well, good morning, everyone. Let me add my welcome to Tavis's and Amanda's. My name is Adam. I'm one of the ministers here at St. Hills, and it's great to welcome you here on such a special day. How beautiful was it to witness those baptisms and to be able to hear the stories that people shared. Now, we've just heard a reading from, thanks, Tavis. That's it. OH&S has it there. We've just heard a reading from the book of Romans, and it's quite a tricky reading today, actually. So my job is to help you, help us unpack it a little. So sin, a word that appeared many times in that reading we just heard, is a pretty unpopular word today. I think sin, the word sin, it suffers from bad press, really, because there's a way that the world uses it, and there's a way that the Bible uses it, and the church often hasn't done a great job of helping us understand the difference. The world's definition, a common go-to, is classically what we see in the media. It's high-profile moral failure, whether it's sexual or financial or ethical. We see someone who's done something, an actor, a sports person, even a religious figure, do something that is scandalous, and we call for their dismissal. We say they can no longer be in this role anymore. They are finished. They are cancelled. It's irredeemable and unforgivable. And I don't want to make light of that, because when things happen, there are consequences, and we need to live with those consequences. We need to do what happens next. But when the Bible talks about sin, it's a very different picture. You see, the word used in the original language for sin is an archery term. It literally means to miss the mark. And that idea of missing the mark, maybe it sounds like it trivializes the gravity of sin, but actually does quite the opposite. Because before a holy God, all sin is bad. And all of us miss the mark. Some of us probably missed the mark on the way to church this morning. And so before God, all sin is serious. From the high-profile moral failure to the little white lie we told to get out of the work function we didn't want to go to, all of it is sin before God. All of it is missing the mark. And if you read on to the end of chapter 6, the last verse says, "And the penalty for sin is death." Now, how do we deal with that? How do we get rid of this sin? Well, our culture tells us that you can't. You're cancelled. You'll never work in this organization or this industry again. Now, many philosophies, many systems of religion will tell us what we need to do to kind of earn God's favor back. And so we do things to earn God's favor, to find inner peace, to reach enlightenment. But the problem with that is, how much do I need to do? And for how long? And when is it enough? And it's entirely dependent on my own efforts. People spend lifetimes, and some faiths would advocate multiple lifetimes, in order to win God's favor back. But the God of the Bible enacted a different plan. He doesn't cancel you. No, no. He says there are consequences. There are things in this life that you'll have to deal with if you make a mistake. But God enacted a plan before you or I were born to restore you into fellowship, into God's loving relationship. How does that work? Well, if all of us miss the mark, if all of us are sinners, if every single person who walks this earth is marked with that, then we need God here on earth in human form, living our common life, having our common experience, and taking that penalty on himself, dying. And God does that in the person of Jesus. so that his sinlessness, his perfect life, can be transferred, gifted to us. Only he can take that place for us. This gift that Jesus offers, it deals with the sin problem, because he takes the penalty that we deserve on himself and he transfers to us his perfect, wonderful, beautiful life that has perfect relationship with God the Father. And all we have to do is say, yes, thank you. I want that gift. I will take it and treasure it and live a thankful, meaningful life with it. And you see, this thing that we've witnessed today, these five beautiful people who got into the water this morning and came out of the water, that was their decision to say yes, but it didn't happen in an instant. They didn't say yes this morning for the first time. They've been on a journey, as you heard, of saying yes. And they believe what they read in Romans this morning, where it says in verses 3 and 4, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, and we therefore were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might have a new life. A new life that no longer looks like it did before. And so that's the symbol of baptism. It's like when you go down, it's like dying. If you stay in water too long, that's what happens. But we pull them out and celebrate this new life. And this simple act points to a greater reality. Firstly, that God did this, and it's true here and now for them, and for all of us here, anyone who's said yes in the past, anyone who's been baptized, it's true for all of us. And secondly, that they choose to step into this new life, basically to say, yes, and I accept this gift that you've given me. Now, I imagine that the people in this room, you've all received gifts at some stage. Good ones, maybe not so good ones. I have a couple of lousy shirts sitting at the bottom of my wardrobe at the moment. I've received my fair share of bad gifts. And what we do is we say, thank you very much. We don't reject it. We don't say, no thanks. We take the gift. But then later when that person goes, how excited are we? Is it a gift that we love and we treasure and we say, I'm going to, you know, use this every day? Or do we go, I don't really want that. anymore. But we celebrate today because these five people and the two who will be baptized tonight as well, they're saying, yes, I want it, I love it, I treasure it, I want to go with it from now on. And those of us here, as Tavis said at the beginning of the service, those of us who have done this before, it's like we renew our commitment today. We say, yes again, Lord, it's so good. So when we hear the word sin, people who follow Jesus, we don't think cancelled, we don't think the end, we think that was me. That still is me sometimes. But thanks be to Jesus, it's not my identity anymore. I live with him now. Or as St. Paul puts it, not I, but Christ Jesus in me. Baptism then ultimately is a decision to say, I want to live my life with Jesus and for Jesus, which means that that old life that followed a different master, I leave behind and I want to go where Jesus goes now. I won't always get it right. I'm still going to experience temptation. There'll even be moments when I give in to that temptation. But every day I will wake up and choose Jesus afresh. My devotion now, my good works, they don't earn Jesus' love and affection because I already have him. Everything I do is an expression of the fact that I love him and I want to follow him and I want to do this life with him. I want to honor and activate this amazing gift that he has given me. So what we do here today, it's not magic, but it points to something. It's a visible moment that points to an invisible reality that's at work in their lives, an inner and unseen reality that they walk with Jesus. It's, I accept the gift, I say my yes, and I choose Jesus today and every day. Now, I'm so glad you're all here today, and I know we've got some visitors with us here today, some families have come for our people who are baptized, and we probably loosely have three categories of people here today, and you're all welcome, whichever category you're in. It's not a, you know, it's not a pyramid, right? But first of all, we've got people here today who made this decision some time ago to follow Jesus, and being here today is part of your expression of your ongoing walk, your ongoing life with Jesus. And so what our Bible reading reminds that group of people of today is to not become complacent, to actually treasure it every day, to be able to say our yes every day, to get up in the morning and go, look, my life isn't free of trouble and hardship, but despite that, I'm going to do it with Jesus and not on my own. I want to follow, I want to learn, I want to grow. I don't want to be stagnant in that decision I made years ago. I want to walk with Jesus every day, and today is no different. I will make my decisions, I will do my day, I will do my life with him. The second group of people that might be here today are people who did make that decision a long time ago, but it's kind of faded into the background a bit. Jesus isn't the source of every decision I make. Jesus isn't at the center. There are other things that sometimes take precedent. Sometimes I make decisions that are not maybe the way I did originally. And we read again and again in the Bible that Jesus is always excited, that there's rejoicing in heaven when one person who's kind of veered off the path comes back. And so as you hear Romans 6 today and watch people getting baptized, the message for you might be, I want to come back. I want to re-engage. I want to get back to the rekindle the first love, as the Bible puts it. To fall in love with Jesus afresh. Here at St. Hilary's, we do things like connect groups, courses, prayer nights, a whole bunch of things, and all the things you heard in the notices before, as a way to help people get on track or stay on course with Jesus. And every church does it. We're not special in that way. But if you're here and you want to find out more, there are QR codes on the wall. There are people with lanyards you can say hello to, and we'll point you towards those things. But you could find them anywhere. And the last group of people that are here might be people who've never had a relationship with Jesus, or people who, for some reason in life, made a decision or just drifted away. I love those people. I know lots of those people. I had dinner with a bunch of those people last night. And often the reasons we drift away are very good reasons. Something happens in life that is really hard, really difficult. And you go, can God really be here in the midst of all this hardship? And the truth is that for people who walk with Jesus, they are not spared hardship. They're not spared adversity. Like sometimes, in fact, the Bible says if you follow Jesus, there'll be more of that. But what it does promise is that he always goes with us. We do life with him. And so I've seen Christians endure tremendous adversity and still experience a supernatural joy of walking with Jesus in their lives, because they don't have to go it alone. Even if they feel like there's no one else in this world, they don't have to go it alone. And so I'm not here to manipulate you today. We're not into that at this church. But if you're someone today who goes, I find something about what I've heard or what I've observed compelling, find out more. Find out more. It's so easy. It's easier than it's ever been to access information about the gospel, to access information about Jesus. We're happy to tell you about it, but you don't have to hear it from us. There's lots of literature, there's lots of websites. People can help you point to you to the good ones if you like, but it's out there. And so do a little research, talk to someone you trust, reach out and ask a few questions. This world might cancel you, but Jesus will never cancel you. He's loved you from the creation of the world before you were born. He's loved you and he continues to love you. And he has already made a way for me and for you and for these five people and for everyone else to say yes and amen. Thank you. I want that gift. It's a free gift. So I'm so thankful for you guys, Isaac and Julie and Anne and Alexandria and Angela, who made this commitment today. Well done to you and to the two guys who are doing it tonight. Thank you for reminding us that because of all Jesus has done, we are precious, chosen, and loved. And no one can take that away from us. Amen.